3 to 11, you're dismissed. You can go to your classes and enjoy. They're having a great time in their classes. What's happening in our children's ministry is really amazing, and it's been wonderful, and it's wonderful. It really is. And you guys make that possible. Y'all really do. Okay, I want to read something to you, then I'm going to show you a couple of short videos, okay? And they're real. And I'm showing them with a purpose. And it's a big deal. And every one of us matters. God's after you. I love that song, that He won't quit. He will not quit. He's going to love you no matter how hard you try not to be. He's after you. No, really, He is. Is there anybody here running from God? Don't raise your hand. Get your hands down. Right. Good luck. You're playing tag with the infinite tagger. He will get you. And it's going to be love. June the 23rd, 2018. One of the greatest rescue efforts in history took place. There were over 100,000 people involved in this rescue. The rescue took over 18 days of people working 24 hours a day, desperately trying to free 13 young people who had got trapped in a cave that was flooding. Two men gave their lives in the effort. One was a diver and one was worked at something else. But they saved those young people. So would you show those clips now? Out of the Dark. And that's a movie. You can watch it. There's many movies and documentaries written about that. And it was one of the greatest rescues ever. All the boys and the young coach were rescued, made it out. Two workers lost their lives. One of the divers. It's an emotional movie, huh? And one of the divers didn't make it. It was a five-hour dive trip through crevices and holes that you can't get through. And if any of you have claustrophobia, you can imagine what that was like. Being there in the dark for 10 days, a half a mile deep under the mountain, it was amazing. Literally, the children were found 2.5 miles from the entrance to the cave, through most of it underwater when they found them. Literally, it took them 2 full days to transport the 13 young men out of that place. Two divers at a time, they had to sedate them because panic, like the diver said, panic is what kills you. And these boys, they said they couldn't even, none of them could swim. And, you know, there's only a handful of people in the world that could have done that. And they weren't professionals. They were people that dived for a hobby. They cave dived for a hobby. And those men came from different countries to help those kids. But there were 100,000 people involved in this rescue. The 4, 5, 6 divers, they're the heroes, but every person, if they hadn't have pumped that water out of those, it was unbelievable what they did to move water so they could get to them. And it was still underwater, but the water had slowed down where it was such a current they couldn't swim against it until they did all that. And all the men and women, that was a worldwide. I mean, the news agencies all over the world, it's like the whole world stopped for the rescue of these kids. And those men that went under that cave, that went into that water, they knew they might not make it back. And one of the men said, "How could I not go? Because I knew that I might could help." Isn't that the truth? If we were there, if we could help, How could you not help 13 innocent boys? And it was a crisis. But today, so I'm not emotional about this. They were all saved. Two men lost their lives, but the boys were all saved. But today we face a crisis that the world has never seen before. And it's not in Thailand. It's not on the other side of the world. It's not. It's right here. It's right here in our neighborhoods. It's on our streets. It's people you work with. It's in your family. We face a darkness that the world's never faced before. Literally, the world's never faced a darkness that was in here, like we're facing today. You see, it's an internal problem that we face. I want to read you something that it's really true. You see, our children today are facing a mental health crisis. The people in our world are facing mental health issues that the world has never seen before. And among children, the second leading cause of death is suicide. The first is accidents. You see, things have changed. Pediatricians say the mental health crisis among kids has become a national emergency. And I love the way 100,000 people responded to that emergency in Thailand for those 13 young men and their families, you know? You can watch the movie. It's all free stuff you can watch. But we have a national emergency right here in Cabot, Arkansas, Lone Oak County, where there used to be dairy farms all over. We face a crisis that my generation, the generations before us, never knew. You see, before we were struggling for physical stuff. We were struggling to eat. Just 100 years ago, those issues weren't in the world, but they're there and they're very real to the point where it affects every family. So the pediatricians say this has become a national emergency. Here's what they said in a report. A coalition of the nation's leading experts in pediatric health has issued an urgent warning declaring the mental health crisis among children so dire that it has become a national emergency. Now, COVID made it worse as kids were separated and alone. But the emergency was already there. And it's interesting to me how we got so excited and so wrapped up in COVID and one half of 1% deaths it caused, and we're not even aware of the number two leading cause of death among children is suicide, mental health issues. So a declaration was penned by the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Children's Hospital Association, and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, which together represent more than 77,000 physicians and 200 children's hospitals. The group says that rates of childhood mental health concerns are steadily rising over the past 10 years. When it comes to suicide in particular, the group points to data showing that by 2018, suicide was the second leading cause of death. The first cause is accidents, right? Teenage girls have emerged particularly at risk. From February to March of that year, emergency department visits for suspected suicide attempts were up 51% for girls ages 12 to 17. Compared with the same period in 2019, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Overall, the data shows that in 2020, the percentage of emergency department visits for mental health emergencies rose by 24% for children between the ages of 5 and 11, 31% for those between the ages of 12 and 17. It's time to wake up to the mental health crisis that's sweeping across our nation. You see, we need, do you know who those people were that drove 5 hours through 2.5 miles of cave to get to those children, they were just normal people like us. They weren't professional divers. They did it for a hobby. But they had a skill. They had acquired a skill that could rescue those kids out of the dark. And guys, the church has the skills to rescue the children that are in the dark today. And it's going to require something from us. Those people sacrificed in huge ways, but they took those kids and they rescued them. You see, this crisis affects us all. And you know it affects you. You know who it affects in your life, in your family, in your body. You know. But I want to tell you, the children growing up in our world today are growing up in a different thing than we've ever seen, in a darkness that none of us has experienced. And I believe God wants us to do something about it. I believe He's looking for volunteers, normal people who'll say, "I'm in, coach. Put me in." Yeah, I know I may not come back. It may cost me everything. But how can you stay on the sidelines when you can do something? How can we do that? So I found something that I wanted to share with you. And it's out of 2 Kings. It's the weirdest story, not the weirdest, because there's really weird stories in the Old Testament, but it's a story in the Old Testament. You see, in 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 24, I'll just tell you about this story. I'll read it to you. It's worth listening to. Maybe you've never read it, but it was during the time of Elijah the prophet, and Elijah had done many, many miracles. God was calling his children back into relationship with him, because Israel had wandered away from God. They had wandered away. The kings especially weren't serving the Lord. And when you're not walking with God, things happen. And that's what's happening here in 2 Kings. And it says, sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. What those armies would do, they would surround the city so that there's no one could go in and no one could come out. And they didn't have department stores. Instantly, there became a food shortage. Instantly, the people began to slowly starve to death. And that's what was going on in that city. And the siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. That's 20 pounds of silver. And the Jewish people weren't allowed to eat donkeys. They were unclean animals to them. The head was the worst part. There was no food in the city. Then 26, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall. Now this king wasn't following the Lord, but he was the king. And just like any of us, he cared about people, but he wasn't seeking the Lord for his guidance. He was seeking guidance from somewhere else. And a woman cried to him, "Help me, my Lord, the king." She got his attention. The little king said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor, from the wine press, there's nothing." He said, "I can't help you." Then he asked her, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son so we may eat him today.'" Give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son. You know, I wonder if our society, this wonderful society we've created, doesn't eat children. Still eats children, but not out here, in here. They get the idea that they're not good enough. They get the idea that there's something wrong with them. They get the idea that they're bad and that God's angry at them. And it eats them up on the inside. And these kids today are so spiritually sensitive and so gifted that they can sense and hear and feel everything. I think about this, we're thinking, well, nobody would ever eat their children. Oh, really? How can we have this kind of mental health problem in our nation, and we are ignoring it to a large part. There's a few people that are working on it. So she said, give up this lady. We ate my son, but she won't give me hers to eat. The king, of course, he heard the words, the woman's words. He tore his robes, which was the greatest distress you could have as a king. And we went along the wall with his robes ripped apart, showing his undergarments, which were actually the sackcloth, because he was already grieving about what was happening to the nation. Guys, it may be time for us to grieve and admit what's going on. Maybe you aren't directly impacted by it. Maybe you spend your time isolated from hurting people. If you're a teacher, you don't. If you work with children, you're not isolated from it. Then the king said, he's looking for an answer, and he comes up with an answer. He said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. Elisha, the prophet, who had saved the kingdom over and over again. You see, because if you're not walking with God and you run into difficulty and problems fall on you, one of the first things you can do is blame God. This king wasn't serving God. He was worshiping Baals. He didn't even know the Lord. And he blames Elisha, the prophet, for what was going on in Israel. And Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders of the city were sitting with him. I'm sure they were praying about the famine. And the king sent a messenger ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha said to the elders, don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head? You see, the Lord spoke to Elisha all the time. He said, Elisha, there's somebody coming here. He's going to cut your head off. And Elisha said, look, when he comes, shut the door, hold it shut against him. Is not the sound of his master's footsteps behind him? He knew who sent him. It was the king. And while he was still talking to them, the messenger came. And the king said, this disaster is from the Lord. Listen, the Lord is our rescuer. He's our salvation. He's the hope of nations. He's not the problem. Why should I wait any longer? And Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Listen, the Lord has an answer. He's already has an answer for the problem our nation's facing right now. For the problems you're facing, the problems our families are facing, the problem this city's facing. God has an answer. Elisha said, he has an answer. He said, by this time tomorrow, it'll all be over. Food will be everywhere. It'll be cheap. And that's what he told the servant. This time tomorrow, the Lord is coming. And the Lord is a Prince of Peace. And he is the bread, right? Where does our bread come from? What do we drink? It's him. And the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heavens, could this happen? Don't let the darkness speak into your mind that this isn't possible, that nothing can change this. Well, God's been here forever. Yes, he has, but this is possible. And if the enemy gets in your head and can convince you that nothing's ever going to change, then you're going to lose hope and you're going to lose life. And you won't get to participate in the life that Jesus is going to bring. God's inviting us in. He's saying, come on. And he said that. And then Elisha said to him, you will see this happen with your own eyes tomorrow, but you won't eat any of it. So, now the story changes. It's really strange. This is where me and you come in. Because last week what we found out was, Jesus is looking for a certain kind of people, right? He's excited, and he's looking for people like us. People that aren't good enough. People that aren't accepted. You see, because there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. Lepers weren't allowed to be a part of the family. They weren't allowed to be in the city. They were shunned. And they were outside the city gate wearing their lepers' clothes. And the lepers said this crazy thing. They said, listen, if we stay here, we'll die. If we go into the city, we'll die. So, let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we'll live. If they kill us, then we die. We're dead anyway. And so, at dusk, as it got dark, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. They walked into this camp of this 100,000 army, and they're gone. And then they said this. They said they looked around, and the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was, and they ran for their lives. The men, the lepers, those four guys, got to the edge of the camp. They entered one of the tents, and they ate and drank, probably till they were about to die. And then they took silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them, just taking care of themselves. How many of us have experienced the peace and presence of God? How many times has God met you in the sadness, met you in your depression, met you in the darkness that you suffered? How many of us, like me, were at a place in our lives where there was just blackness. There was nothing. And then Jesus came. Amen. The light of the world showed up. And He took away your pain. He took away your suffering. He healed your wounds. He healed you from your past. He forgave you. He set you free. That's treasures that money can't buy. Money can't buy this stuff in here. You know what? Me and you are just like those lepers. We've been to the Lord. We've experienced Him. It's almost like Tim's offering message. Well, I don't give to get. I give because He gave. It's honor to give. You see, we're like those lepers. Most of us, we're just like those men and the divers. We just have a normal job. There's nothing special about us. So, then they returned and went into another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. Guys, I believe that we've experienced good news. And the good news, the shame-free gospel that God has been bringing us, is good news. I believe that the answer to the problem, the crises, the mental health issue in our world today, Jesus answered that question. And you know, our children today need to know they're loved. People need to know they are loved without anything. They just are. People need to know they're needed. They just need to know it. Our kids need to know they're needed. They're not a problem. They're not a bother. They're not a weight we're carrying around with us everywhere we go. No, we need them. Our children are valuable. They need to know their value, their worth. They need to know that they're accepted. They need to know we accept them, that they're good. Yeah, but you never seen my kid when they throw a fit. They need to know it. They need to know they belong. They need to know that they're a part. They need to know they're safe. And they need to know they're secure. You see, we need to build a foundation in children's lives where when they wake up in the morning, their self-esteem, because they know who they are. They know whose they are. Yeah. That they don't have any negative feelings about their body or their clothes or anything else. Who you are is good. And guys, we were taught our whole lives that who you are is bad. And if you teach me foundationally that I'm bad, then I build everything in my life off of that. And you know what our children do today? They build everything off of what we taught them, that you're bad. Children were never bad. The gospel says that we were taken captive, not that we were bad. Now, we do bad things because sometimes we're slaves. Sometimes we're in bondage. But Jesus came to set the captives free. We need to have people who will take the gospel to the world. You see, that crisis has affected the whole world. It's happened to us all, right? Now, what qualified those lepers to be heroes? They found food. What qualifies us to change this mental health crisis that the world's facing today? Because we've all eaten. We've eaten at His table. We've tasted and we've seen that the Lord is good. Now, are we going to share that with the world? Are we going to share with them the food we found? You see, because the gospel that I'm sharing now, it's different than the gospel I used to share. We need them to know very simple things. God's good. God is not disappointed in you, and God is not mad at you. He loves you. God is good. We need to share with them that they are not bad, that they have value and worth. They're important. We need them. They're a part. We accept them as who they are. They are not foundationally, fundamentally evil. They're not bad, and God's not disappointed in them or mad at them. We need to share that with people. We found it. Can we share it with the children? We need to share with the children that when people do bad things or when they're mean, it's because they're in bondage, not because they're bad people. And when they do bad things, it's because they're in bondage. It's not because they're bad. You see, it's good news for a child to find out, I made a mistake, but I'm not bad. I messed up, but you're not disappointed in me. I'm not good enough. I don't have any worth. You see, we have a message that's going to set the captives free. The gospel is light. And guys, if you've experienced the light, you need to share the light. We're free. We need to share with people that when Jesus set us free from bondage, we're free to choose to live with Him and to live by the power of the Holy Spirit right now, not just in heaven. Not just in heaven. Your best life is when you and Jesus live together on this earth, because it's only on this earth that you're able to bring other people out of the darkness. And they're in the darkness. They're in the darkness. You see, you're free to choose to live with Him. Can you see what's happening in our world? This tragedy is really here to bring us to a new place. And I believe God's wanting to wake the church up. And He's wanting us to change our message. And He's wanting us to preach the good news and not the bad news. And we've been called to that. What would our world look like if everyone believed this? What would our world look like when people hear this message, when they hear the gospel and they accept it? Mental health, all my mental health friends, I have a lot of friends who are therapists, they're going to have to go get another job. Maybe life coach or something, or teach parents how to speak life to their children and not death. What would happen to your families if none of us were suffering these horrible afflictions? Because they are. It's like having the flu. It comes on you and it makes you feel horrible. It takes away your energy. It's horrible. Can you imagine a world where nobody is suffering from mental health issues anymore? No more addictions. no more anxiety, no more depression. You see, that's God's plan, and that's the light. And I believe God's going to do that today, but he's looking for volunteers. In the near future, you're going to be asked to volunteer. And you know what's beautiful? It will. If you watch that movie, lots of you have already seen it. This was 2018, right? But was it 2018? I forgot the year. The truth is, God has us mission. He's asking for volunteers. And me and you are qualified. You know what qualifies you? Eating at the Lord's table. That's experiencing life. If you've experienced it, you can give it away. And guys, that's our mission. That's what we're here for. That's why we exist. And you can be a hero. So really, all 100,005 people, every one of them were heroes. And you know what? The people that you share the good news with, they're really the heroes. Can you imagine the courage it took for those young men to survive for 10 days in the dark with no food and oxygen going away and the waters rising? No, nothing but sure death for those boys. Can you imagine? They were unbelievably, incredibly brave and strong. And you know what's funny? For them, their first thing they said to the guys, the first thing they asked for was food. And the men said, oh, we're bringing you food. Every one of us, everyone in this room right now and watching online, you have food to share. Are you sharing the food God has given you? It may look different. You may be one of the divers. You might be one of the people pumping water. You might be one of the people serving the families and the grieving parents. There's 100,000 people involved in that. Everyone was a hero. God wants you to be a hero. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning. And I just want to tell you, you are valued. You are important. You do belong. God loves you, and he is after you with everything. He's given everything to have you. God wants you, and he's the answer. You see, we have the answer to everything. His name's Jesus. And he's looking for people who will share that with good news with other people. Amen? So let's all stand up. I forgot, Tim's got something. I forgot to mention Harvey and Pat, Ryder in Nepal. They've been there for a week. Unbelievable report. Jesus is healing and setting free, and they've had a wonderful time. This week, they're starting on their second group of pastors and churches they're going to be training. So keep praying for them. They'll be back soon, right, Marcia? Is it pretty soon? Thursday. Yeah, so they'll be home. And they'll have 1,000 stories, okay? Pastor Tim.
You know, I read this morning, and it was a buddy of mine, his daughter sent it to him for his birthday. And I thought, wow, how fitting, because I thought, you know, will they say this of me? And she said, well, of course I lost it. She said, I want you to meditate on this and let the gratitude overwhelm you. She said, your children's children have an eternal inheritance because of the yeses to the Lord and the commitment in his ways. The incredible abundant life that my precious family lives out every single day was built upon the foundation you laid for us. The enemies you faced and overcame in an enemy that my sons and daughters will laugh at their face. There's no adequate words to thank you for choosing faith and rendering the enemy powerless in our lives. You taught me how to fight the truth, fight of faith, the only fight that actually matters in life. Through learning that skill, I have seen victory in my marriage, my children, my relationships, and it has enriched my life beyond what I can even understand. So thank you for me as lived out every single day as I walk down the road of grace that you paved for our family. Celebrate you for who you are as a dad, as a husband, as a father-in-law, as a teapot, as a world changer. I think so many times we get life. Just, it gets hard. I mean, just working and circumstances and just making it through my day, let alone thinking that I've found something. I found something that other people know nothing about. I have food that no one even knows about that they need. And I think that each and every one of us are that hero. There's lives that are surrounding our lives that if we leave here today with this is just a normal message spoken on a normal Sunday, then I'll go home and be a normal way that I was. But I think that the Lord, the Holy Spirit wants to do something in each and every one of us now. I think there's somebody, there's people that he said, you found something and I have you to give this away. And I don't want to leave here. I don't, like I said this morning, I don't want to leave here today as just that was another message. I checked my box. I went to church and I'll go back to life tomorrow and I'll just continue through and not realize that there's actual people who are waiting for something that I have. And as much as I don't think that I don't have is really how much more that I have. So I just want to give the Holy Spirit a chance inside of your lives real quick. That we don't move through it today. We just take a moment in time and just stop and say, listen, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to tell me the one today. Because I think there's at least one in every one of our lives. I'd like you to close your eyes. And I think it's such a big deal that we say it. That's why I make you put your hand on your hearts and why I do all that is because I believe it's such a big deal when the words come out of our mouth. And you just repeat after me, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You're the helper.
You're the helper.
You're the person.
You're the person.
That teaches me along the way.
That teaches me along the way.
I have food.
I have food.
That I know about.
That I know about.
And there's people around me.
And there's people around me
who are hungry.
Who are hungry.
I ask of you.
I ask that you.
That you would just bring one person.
You would bring one person.
That I'm supposed to share that with this week.
That I'm supposed to share that with this week.
Just wait. I believe that that's such a big deal that I would love to hear your stories this week of the person you shared it with. And maybe next week would be a celebration of the people that we shared it with that were hungry, that had no way. Amen?
Amen. So we're good. If when that happens to you this week, and you see those stories, I want you to share them. Get a hold of Pastor Tim or me, and we would love to share some next week. I heard stories this week of someone who saw the light come on inside of a child just as they shared the gospel with them. Like their whole countenance changed. That lit up my world when I heard that story. I saw a 14-year-old young man who'd done nothing but darkness and depression and hate and anger for years. I saw a light come on inside of him, and he told me, he said, you know, I feel the presence of God. I haven't felt him for years. And it was good. The darkness backed away in his mind. And all I did was share with him the gospel. He was a Christian already. But he didn't know the shame-free gospel. And he believed, just a little bit, he began to believe that God loves him and he's good. So guys, this week, when you share, we'd love to have some of the stories because I'd love for you to be able to share here. We need to share those stories, you know. So when you get a story this week, contact Pastor Tim or me, and we want you to share next Sunday, okay? And it'll be funny. It'll be good, right? So this morning we have prayer teams up here that want to pray with you. God is healing physically and internally all the time. So if you want somebody to pray with you, these guys will be up here both, and we would love for you to come. God bless you guys. Y'all have a great Sunday.